Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you for tuning in. This week, we've been having some great, great interviews, and we've been having authors, we've been having ministers, and today we got a combination. Today we got someone that has served this country, also, but also served in faith his country as well, and he's written several books, and we're going to be talking about one of his books, but if he wants to jump into any of his other books, we're open to it. We have with you on the show, Brother Colonel Steve Bauer. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, Brother Dave. Nice talking with you.
Not a problem. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show with us, my brother.
Happy to be here.
Amen, amen. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll jump into your books.
Well, I'm 28 years in the Army, and I decided to retire because I didn't like what candidate Bill Clinton said he was going to do to the Army. He didn't get around to it, but our current commander-in-chief did. I'm glad I got out when I did, but I was not a Christian until about 17 years ago, and I was born again, and I know many people have a lot of faith in Jesus Christ, and it's because of what they read in the Bible, but I have met so many people who don't have faith because they think they're too smart to accept what the Bible teaches and what Christians tell us about the world.
Hmm. Amen. Amen. So how long have you been out of the military right now?
Oh, 93. Let's see. Do the math. 19 years?
Well, hey, so we got out the same time.
Seemed like just yesterday.
Yeah, I got out in 93. I was in the Navy for a few years. And I got out right when almost the same principles you had there, brother. I was under the Bush administration there, and then seeing everything that was going to happen, I didn't re-enlist. I just got out. I was like, you know, I'm not going to put up with that. So I just...
Well, I like to tell people that, you know, I couldn't do the Marine Corps because of the PT. I wanted to fly airplanes, but my eyes wouldn't qualify, so it was either the Army or the Navy, and I knew I could walk farther than I could swim, so I joined the Army.
That's a good way to say it. I like that. Amen, amen. So you've ran into a lot of people. You served several different presidents as well. Tell us about the administrations that you were a part of.
Well, I started as a military social aide in the White House under President Nixon. And I stayed through President Ford and the first year of President Carter. You had to be a bachelor to be a social aide. And so I decided that the Carter parties were so bad, I didn't want to work any longer as a military social aide. I convinced my fiance that we should get married a year early. So we got married at the end of the first year of the Carter administration, and I left the social aid program, and I left the White House, but I went back and had a staff job under President Reagan in the White House, and I stayed for the first year of Bush 41. So I worked for five presidents, and it was an interesting experience. I met a lot of people that are too smart to accept Christ, and I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, you know, what if we approached Christ from their perspective, from the perspective of science? And that's the reason I wrote the book, The Math of Christ.
Mm. Amen. So tell us about that. How do we find Christ through the math of Christ?
Well, I used the prophecies in the Old Testament, and I looked at 40 of them, and I examined them in some detail, and I considered the mathematical probability that Christ would fulfill these prophecies entirely by accident. In other words, a prophecy is made, and then Christ actually fulfills it in living his rather short life entirely by accident. And he could have done that. I mean, you know, one of the prophecies, the very first prophecy that I looked at is the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. That was made by Moses in Genesis, 1,500 years before Christ was born. What are the odds that he guessed the right tribe of Israel that the Messiah would come from? Well, you know, first you have to consider how many tribes of Israel there are. And if you ask the average Christian will tell you that there are 12 tribes of Israel. In fact, we know there are 14 because Ephraim and Manasseh are often substituted. The Bible never lists more than 12 at a time, but it used 14 different tribes at different times. So there was really one chance in 14 that he made a lucky guess. And just to be conservative, in that particular prophecy, I said there was one chance in 10. And I looked at 39 other prophecies, and I thought, and I explained each one. I explained when it was made, who made it, how it was fulfilled literally many, many centuries after it was actually made. And you can tell by looking at the prophecy that Christ had no way to know most of these prophecies were actually made, and that he would go out of his way to try and fulfill them. He couldn't pick which tribe he was born in. He couldn't pick which village he was born in. When he was a young child at 2 years old, he couldn't be called out of Egypt in the early days of the nation of Israel. And so when we consider the possibility that all 40 of these prophecies came true entirely by accident, all happening to one person, Jesus Christ, you'd have to multiply the odds of one prophecy happening by the accidental odds of the second times the third times the fourth. And the simple answer to all of that is that there's one chance in 10 with 136 zeros behind it that Christ was, in fact, the Messiah. Now, that's a pretty big number.
That is a huge number. That is a huge number. So what put you on this journey to figure out the math and all this?
Well, there's so many people that rely on evolutionary science that's taught in modern schools that I thought I would look at the science of math and consider this. I guess I'm into numbers. I'm not a mathematician by any stretch of the imagination, and I won't even provide you with my college transcript to prove that.
So you're not Rain Man.
No. I literally show all the work in the book. Nobody that reads the book has to do any of the math. I mean, you can look at it and simply understand that the math is there. I mean, all the numbers are there. But what you ask smart people, how big a number is one with 136 zeros behind it? I mean, that's an awfully big number. If you ask these really smart people how many atoms there are in the known universe, our known universe has all kinds of objects in it, not just to mention everything you see on Earth, but everything you see in the moon, all the asteroids, all the stars, everything you can see with the known Hubble telescope, everything in the known universe only has one with 81 zeros behind it. That's all the atoms. That's like asking an individual to walk through the known universe and select a single atom. What are the odds that you could pick the right atom? Well, you're not going to pick the right atom. That's obviously the answer. But that's only got 81 zeros behind it. The odds that Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecies of the Messiah has 136 zeros behind it. And I went so far in the book as to list 16 other prophecies I didn't even assign mathematical odds to. I'd let the reader do that.
Wow. Wow, and how long did it take you to put this book together?
Well, probably a year to a year and a half. I mean, I just considered, you know, looking at the prophecies is one thing, but there are also sections in the book that refer to, for example, the father of mathematical probability. A Frenchman named Emile Borel passed away in 1956, but before he died, he was considered by the mathematical community to be the father of probability theory. And he said that he postulated the basic law of probability, which says that the occurrence of any event in which the chances are beyond one with 50 zeros behind it is an event that we can state with certainty will never happen. So he said if it's got 50 zeros, it will never happen. At least it won't happen by accident. The only way it could obviously happen is by design. And this has 136 zeros behind it. And so obviously it was the design of God that Christ would fulfill the prophecies of the Messiah. And we know that the rabbis have been telling us for 2,000 years that Christ is not the Messiah. The Jewish people are still waiting on the Messiah. They're obviously wrong.
Amen. Amen. So the entire history of the Jewish nation prophecies, the coming of Christ, and its message sent to centuries before, how is it authenticated by God the Father?
Well, that's the whole point of prophecy. The whole point of prophecy is it authenticates the Bible, because God tells us in the Bible, many centuries before Christ was born, he tells us things are going to happen. When they actually do happen, that's his way of authenticating the entire Bible. I mean, there are so many examples in the Bible of prophecy where God says something's going to happen that it's already happened, and of course he talks about other things that are going to happen, and we can be sure that if the other things happen, then these things are going to happen as well.
Amen.
And of course,
go ahead,
he tells us a lot about science in the Bible. There's a tremendous amount of science in the Bible. That's why I think that every Christian ought to read the book, because they'd find it interesting. But every Christian knows somebody that's too smart to accept Christ, and so they could read it and then give it to somebody or loan it to somebody and help them understand why Christ is the Messiah. But they could also give it to every school child that has to suffer through the instruction in public schools about science and whatnot. And you could read science in the Bible. I put sections in the book about the science that's in the Bible specifically for children. For instance, Isaiah said that the world is round. In chapter 40, verse 22, he said, "He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth." Well, obviously, that says the earth is round. And, of course, it says in Job that the earth floats in space, stretches out north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. We now know that that's the case. And probably the most interesting of all the science predictions in the Bible is in Genesis. It says that the Jewish people would perform the act of circumcision on the eighth day after their birth, specifically because the Scripture demands it. Well, we found out in the early of the 20th century that there is a protein in the blood of children that are newborn that is specifically there because it has a very high blood clotting mechanism, and it's called prothrombin. It's a glycoprotein that it's at its highest level on the eighth day after birth. Now, isn't that astonishing that 3,000 years earlier, God said they should perform circumcision on the eighth day because they know that that surgery is going to require blood clotting?
Wow. That's amazing. Now, I didn't get a copy of your book in time for the show, so I'm just going to lean on you for most of the content in there. What are some of the chapters in there that you can tell us about that would challenge a person that is completely skeptical?
Well, I think the most important part is looking at not just everyday science in the Bible, looking at the 40 prophecies, reading the individual prophecies, seeing how many centuries before they came true, before the eyewitness accounts say that they actually happened, and looking at individual prophecies, and the reader would evaluate whether my mathematical odds are reasonable. If they want to take a zero away, if they say it's one chance in less than a million, it's a one chance in 100,000, or one chance in 10,000, then take two zeros away. If they think that it should be greater than one chance in a million, then add a zero. Adding or taking a zero away from 136 zeros isn't going to really change anything. The mathematical, there's a whole section in there on the father of mathematical probability, the history of the Jewish nation prophesying the coming of Christ. There's a section on there that talks about the message for the individual. If you believe that Christ is the Messiah, then you should believe in the Bible and you should believe what it tells you. There's a section in there about how the Bible itself and how prophecy authenticates the message of God, just like in the military. You may recall all kinds of radio communications where you would use something that we back in the old days we used to use KY keys. I don't know if you ever used that in the Navy.
No.
Yeah. Well, it's an authenticate, and it's a way to literally to encrypt a conversation, but it's there so that you can authenticate a message.
Oh yeah, okay, that's what they're called. I remember those. Yes.
And or you can use a messenger that you obviously know is coming from a higher headquarters. I mean, the military has all kinds of ways to authenticate messages, but in the Bible, it's authenticated through prophecy. There's a section on science in the Bible. There's a whole section on future events, and then you should choose size, and what do you do next?
Yeah, tell me about what do you tell your readers when they get to the point, and okay, they understand it, they're open to it, so what's next? What do you tell them in your book?
Well, when you consider what's next, you have to acknowledge the fact that we're all sinners. I mean, this is all New Testament documents. Romans 3, we're all sinners. We can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, Romans 6. If you do so, you've got to be born again. John 3 says you have to be born again. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. John 14:6 says that. And you've got to repent of your sins. And if you've done those things, you must confess Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and believe that he will raise you from the dead. And, of course, he's waiting at the door for you, and all you have to do is knock. He's not going to do it for you. He's done for you what he can do. All you have to do is accept what he's done. And, you know, I'm always asked by people whether or not it's necessary to do good works. I don't think you can do good works and get into heaven. If you did that, then getting into heaven would be an act that basically would permit you to get yourself into heaven. Well, Jesus Christ will get you into heaven. All you have to do is accept what he did. He died for your sins on the cross. You will do good works because you're a Christian. You will not be a Christian just because you do good works.
That's true. That's true. Now, tell us about the earth and why this is the place specifically built for man.
Well, there's a section in the book on what's known as the anthropic principle, and the anthropic principle basically says that the Earth was designed specifically for man. In other words, if there are certain aspects of the Earth that would cause you to cause it to not be inhabitable if they were the slightest bit different. If it rotated too fast, you would have extremely high winds. If it were 1 degree off center, you would have temperatures that at night were too cold for man, at day were too hot for man. I mean, there are all sorts of explanations, scientific explanations, about why the Earth is the right place for man to live. And not the moon, and not Mars, and not any of the planets that we could see.
Amen.
I personally don't know if there is another, and I'm, you know, I don't consider myself omnipotent. I just don't have the answer. When people say there are so many possibilities of planets out there that are similar to Earth, well, there might be. And God might be even... I wouldn't rule out the possibility that he's got another planet somewhere where he's raising individuals just to see what they will do. I don't really know. Someday I hope to be able to ask him questions like that, and maybe we'll find answers to that. But that's not really relevant to us. We live here on Earth, and there's every indication that here on Earth we are responsible for... ourselves, and we are responsible to him, and everybody has to make that sort of decision.
Amen. Amen. Now, you've written several other books as well, correct?
I did. I wrote a book about being a military socialite. I wrote a book about Social Life in the White House. It's called At Ease in the White House. And it's not a Christian book, but it's about the military social aides and how every function in the White House is run by military officers.
Wow.
In uniform.
Wow.
And, of course, there are a lot of things that go on behind the scenes at a state dinner that I talk. There's a whole section about that, but then there's a lot of anecdotes in there about my personal experiences in the Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, and administrations. And I also have a lot of friends who worked for Lyndon Johnson, John Kennedy, Clinton, Bush 43, and Obama. And I talk about those specific events as well. So I actually tell some other people's stories, I think people find that pretty fascinating. I get invited to lecture all over the world.
I bet.
In fact, we're leaving Sunday for a cruise ship where I'm going to lecture on the cruise ship about social life in the White House.
Oh, wow. Wow. So God's opened up some major doors for you besides you. I mean, of course, he opened the doors for you to serve and with those presidents as well. But even afterwards, he's opening doors to be able to minister to people and to be able to give them insight to things. That's amazing, my brother.
I do get a chance to tell audiences of hundreds that I wrote The Math of Christ. And I take about a minute, and I tell people that these are basically secular audiences, and I tell them that I'm not there to sell them religion. I think people need to sell themselves on religion, but they have to have a basis for doing it. I think The Math of Christ is a perfect basis, and so I just tell people that I wrote the book, and they can go look at the prophecies and consider the results themselves, and I think everybody ought to do that. Christians are already there. If they've got strong faith and want to strengthen it, this will strengthen it, but they know somebody that has no faith, and they'll want the book to give it to them. It's available on Amazon. It's actually, I think on Amazon they sell it for $11.66, and that's pretty cheap.
Oh, yeah, that is.
I think there's some mailing cost in there and whatnot, but for about $15 you can get a book and read it and give it to a friend who you want to save.
Now, I'm looking at the cover of this book, At Ease in the White House, and I'm seeing a picture of five presidents.
Those are it's really kind of interesting. Those are the five presidents that I worked for.
Wow, where'd you get this picture?
That I actually worked in the White House for.
That's a nice picture.
That picture was taken when five presidents gathered for the opening of the Reagan Library.
Okay.
At that point in time, and if you look at the picture, that in the center is George Herbert Walker Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the existing president, which is why he's in the center, and the other four ex-presidents are around him, Nixon, Ford, Carter, and Reagan. And they were there. They're standing in the Oval Office that's built inside the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California, and they were there for the opening. That picture was taken at the opening. It was the only time in American history that five presidents were alive and posed for a picture.
Wow!
And it's pretty amazing. We were on a cruise ship, and my wife and I went to the library on a tour. And we saw that picture on the wall of the Reagan Library, and my wife said, wouldn't it be a great idea if you could get that picture for the cover of the book? And so this was about 5 years ago. And at that point in time, Clinton was already in and out of office, and George Herbert Walker Bush had already way out of office, and he'd established his library at Texas A&M. And so when I got home, we contacted the Reagan Library and said, can we use the picture on the cover of the book? And they said, well, we need to see the book. We need to see the manuscript. And so they didn't like what I said about Nancy Reagan being a clothes horse and taking all her clothes for free. I mean, I just told stories that were true. But,
That's funny.
So they said, no, you can't use the picture. So we immediately went to the George Herbert Walker Bush Library at Texas A&M and said, can we use your copy of the picture? And they said, sure, go ahead.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's an awesome story. Now, okay, I got to put you on the spot. Which one was your favorite president?
Well, I was there only for social reasons.
Okay.
And I only went for social functions. And so my favorite president was Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford.
Not only, he had the best parties, he had the most fun. He'd been in Washington 25 years, so he knew everybody. They were very relaxed. They loved to dance. The Nixons were known to have only danced twice in the Carter White House, in the Nixon White House. Jimmy Carter never danced. In fact, he didn't allow his guests to dance. Because they wanted and they started early, they wanted everybody out of the White House. They didn't serve liquor not because he was a Baptist, nothing like that. They just didn't want to pay the bar bill. And he didn't allow dancing because he didn't want anybody to stay. He wanted all the guests out of the White House because he wanted all of the staff out of the White House before midnight just so he didn't have to pay them overtime.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But I like Gerald Ford. I think he was very much a president, but he was probably too nice a guy to be president. I mean, he told New York City when they went bankrupt that he couldn't provide any money from the federal government to New York City to solve their bankruptcy problem. They'd have to solve it themselves. And the next morning, the newspaper in New York said, Ford to New York, drop dead.
Oh.
And he lost the state of New York by only 100,000 votes in the national election to Jimmy Carter. If he had won New York, he would have won the presidency outright. But he's the only man in history that went to the vice president's office without being elected, and then went to the president's office without being elected.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And so you can get that book as well, and you can get his book, The Math of Christ, and that's sold on Amazon as well, correct?
Yes, it is. And my wife and I have also done 6 cookbooks together. We've done Recipes from Historic Texas was the first one because I made her move to Texas from Ohio. And she wasn't too happy about that, but she decided she wanted to learn Texas. And so we did the Recipes book, which is a compilation of buildings that are historical. I write up the history, and then she gets the favorite recipes from the chefs of each place, and it's all organized by region. So it's history, travel, and cooking all wrapped into one. And after we did Texas, we did California, Colorado, Louisiana, America, and most recently, New England.
Oh, wow. Yes, I see. I'm looking at your book, your Google Books area. And you have a lot of recipe books there.
Well, she's really big on the recipe books, so I do the history, and she does the recipe part. But she's done 4 books on her own as well.
Wow! Do you gain
most
weight?
Recently? the book Capitol Hill Cooks is for a charity.
Okay.
That provides homes for soldiers that have lost arms and legs. It's called Helping a Hero. As a matter of fact, it's based in Houston, but it's a national organization.
Oh, wow! Yes, I've seen you have a lot of stuff you do here in Houston. So
quite a bit. We speak. She's at this very moment. She's over at the Newcomers Club in the Woodlands, Texas, speaking about Capitol Hill Cooks and some of these cookbooks.
Wow. Well, hey, you're a Houston native, and we love anyone from H-Town, because I'm from H-Town myself. So it's
we love the place. I love the weather. I love the town. I love the people. I love the Christianity of most people in Texas, and it seems to be that way in what many people refer to, I guess, as flyover country.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we're not the most popular, but we do have a lot of space. Are you amazed at just the land? There's not much. It's all pretty flat here. And I know you've traveled everywhere, and everyone that comes here says, wow, this place is pretty flat compared to where they go to.
It is flat, and there's a lot of water around. Even if it's not raining, there's still a lot of water.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and any contact information you want to give, and then also how they can order your books.
Well, they can look for any of the book, The Math of Christ, Eddie's, and White House. You can find it on Amazon. You can also find it on our website if you want an autographed copy. I think they're about the same price. And if you just Google Bauer Books, B-A-U-E-R-B-O-O-K-S, no space, all one word, Bauer Books, you'll find our website, and you can send us a check. It won't get here probably before we leave on Sunday. We'll be gone for 3 weeks on a cruise, but we're happy to provide an autographed copy to somebody, or if somebody wants to get it immediately, you can get it on Amazon. You can get anything you're looking for.
Oh, wow. That's great. And any contact information for yourself you want to give to them?
Well, there's an email address on Bauer Books. If anybody's looking for me, they can email me on the email address there. If they just remember Bauer Books, they've got everything they need.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Bauer Books. And I believe you can email bauerbooks@gmail.com.
No. If they Google Bauer Books.
Okay, Bauer Books. Google yep. Bauer Books, and you'll get the information for you.
Right.
All right, my brother. Well, I really appreciate you being on the air with us and everything. And if I could bug you to send me one of your books, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
The Math of Christ, that would be awesome. I mean, that'll be good. You got me really intrigued on that one now.
Okay. I will make sure the publisher gets that out.
Okay, I appreciate that. And then are you going to be at the ICRS in July, the International Christian Retail Show?
We're going to be at, in July, we're doing the Branson event in the middle of July.
Oh, okay.
It's called Branson 2012 Summit. My wife and I are both speaking along with about 25 other speakers, and we'll be in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, wow. So you got a lot of traveling. So you're going out on a cruise this week, this next Sunday, and then June, what are you going to be doing? Are you going to be coming back from the cruise and...
Well, we come back in the middle of June, and leave again for Branson, and then I'm going out to California to visit my mother for her 95th birthday.
Wow, that's pretty good. That is really good. Well, congratulations on that. That is really nice.
I think she's managed to beat the statistics, and she's still making it, and living in her own house too.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, great. My brother, anytime you want to be on the air with us again, let us know. Even if you want to come by the station, again, we're out just in past Humble and Atascocita, and we'd love to have you here and just do a live show from here as well.
Love to.
Okay.
Love to. If you want to do a show sometime, we can talk. I do 9 hours of lectures about social life in the White House, so we can talk about that forever.
Oh, I tell you what, that my pastor will be sitting here beside us, and he'd want to be there in there and asking you tons of questions. I truly believe that.
You got to tell him every pastor ought to use the Math of Christ as the subject for a sermon on a Sunday morning. I think it's perfect.
Well, you know what? All the books I get from interviewing people and stuff, I put them upstairs. I call it the Rev Media Library. And he comes in and he'll grab a book and he'll read it and stuff. So I'm going to tell him it's going to be up here in the library for him to check it out and read it and stuff. And I know he's going to actually love that book, the one that you have on At Ease in the White House. I'm actually going to get that one too. I'll order that.
Super.
That will get you an autographed copy from you.
Super.
Okay, well, we love you, brother. Thanks again for coming on the air with us, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother David.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that was a great interview with Colonel Steve Bauer, and we're excited to have him on the air with us. He is doing a great thing with the ministry that he does, and that is, of course, doing the books and stuff, but man, he is busy. Did you hear that? He has lots of lecturing. There's just a quick note of where he's been. He's lectured and has continued lectured at the CIA headquarters at Langley, at the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library, dozens of luncheons and dinner clubs, Texas Legislature, a lot of wives clubs. He is just very, very active, and it's good to have someone like that on the air. I mean, some of the stories he was sharing us about the White House, we're going to get him back, and we're going to talk to him about that, about his book of social life in the White House. And we definitely want to have him, because I tell you what, those particular books and programs, I mean, it's just going to get you excited. Now, we talked about today about the Math of Christ and how everything adds up to what Christ has, and adds up in prophecy, adds up in faith. And this entire show was devoted to that, because we want to make sure that you know that there is more than what we preach on the pulpit. You got to look at the science of things as well, And I believe his book's going to be a blessing to you. Again, you can get that at Amazon. You can get that at Barnes Noble. You get that anywhere books are sold. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back. Again, we had guest Colonel Steve Bauer with us, and you can get his book at BauerBooks.com or Bauer Books. You can Google Bauer Books, and you'll be able to find. All right, we'll be right back.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
Tun Chilkin is the color commentator for the Pittsburgh Steelers radio network. His family immigrated to the U.S. from Turkey as Muslims. Tunch became a football player and later a football commentator.
We serve an awesome God, and what a blessing it is. And it is great to be able to share this with you and your listeners because it is only by His grace, all of it, whether, you know, my life and coming to America and being able to play for the Steelers and God meeting me where I was and cleaning me up and turning me around, and to Him be the glory.
The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever.
A 60-second look at sports with your sports chaplain of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen.
I asked the animated chaplain, Ken Johnson, of the Indianapolis Colts, if he prays to God that his Colts will win the next game.
When you give God the glory for the success that you have, He will give you success to give Him glory. I just believe that. If you are a surgeon, if you are a mechanic, if you are a teacher, whatever you endeavor to do with your life, pray that God will give you wisdom and favor to do that thing to the glorification of Him. And watch when He gives you favor. If you go into battle, you ain't praying for the other guy to be successful. You want to win. God deserves. People tell me, Pastor Ken, there are Christians on the other team. I say, I know there's Christians on the other team. God can decide who He thinks is worthy. That's not my job. I'm just praying to my Savior for favor.
I believe that God honors those favorably who simply ask Him for it. This is Dwight Allen, your sports chaplain of the air.
President Harry Truman said the fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. If we don't have the proper fundamental moral background, he said, we will finally wind up with a totalitarian government that does not believe in rights for anybody. End quote. If morality is not rooted in God's character, then it's found in man, the mob, or the state. We kick God out and then wonder where He was when the slaughter took place. Psalm 2 says, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His Christ, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. The cords of the Ten Commandments are too binding for them. They rage because they want to be free, but Jesus says, he that sins is the slave of sin. ChurchOfTheKingMcAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402. Side with God against yourself and be a winner. Lose your life for Christ and save it. While Christians slumbered, the Supreme Court, President Harry Truman said the fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount.
Hi, this is Pastor David Hope of Metro Church with a word about sexuality in marriage. If we don't understand sexuality from God's standpoint, then we can't understand it at all, because God is the author of it. You see, God had a purpose for Adam and Eve that they could only fulfill as a married couple. In our culture today, you hear a lot of talk about gay marriage, cohabitation, free sex, etc. But the only way to understand correctly how these issues should be decided is to understand that God created sex for His purpose. And there are two main reasons for sex in marriage. There are other reasons, such as achieving intimacy and so forth, but there are two major reasons. The first is for procreation. God wanted a big family. That's why same-sex marriage is wrong. The second major reason God created sex within the confines of marriage is for pleasure. We are to enjoy producing the intimacy that is a picture of our relationship with Jesus. God loves to bless His people. And if you do things God's way, you're going to be blessed, because God wants us blessed. For more information about Metro Church, visit our website at emetrochurch.com. That's the letter E, metrochurch.com. God bless you.
welcome back to the show. And we are trying to shut off David Hope talking there. Anyway, you know, I'm back when things just start playing. I'm pressing every button here in the studio, and some of them are preset, some of them aren't. So, you know, we just mess with it and stuff. What I want to do was play a video, but of course you can't see it, but you can get the audio portion of this. And I was really, I saved this for a time we're going to talk about, of course, politics. We didn't talk too much about politics today, but I think that it may be fitting and stuff. And again, I might hold off on playing it, but I really believe that God is going to touch people out there with the things that we do in faith, with just opening our hearts to hear them. And I really feel that God ministered to some people today through just talking to Colonel Bauer there and talking about his book and stuff. Of course, people want to come out on the air as well to talk about their books and things, but I like talking to them and finding out how they are and who they are, and you're gonna purchase their book because you want to understand who they are, and you like, you know, so you got something from them on the interview. So, and that's why I kind of go off the book just a little bit, just to talk about their personality and talk about what they've done in life. And I really think that he has some strong convictions and stuff. I really, we both left the military at the same time, and basically for the same reason. I wasn't going to be there when what they're going to do with the military when I was when it was going to a new administration for that. Anyway, here is something that I've been wanting to play. It's a tribute to Ronald Reagan. Hopefully you enjoy it.
Someone asked me whether I was aware of all the people out there who were praying for the president. And I had to say, yes, I am. I felt it. I believe in intercessionary prayer. But I couldn't help but say to that questioner after, sometimes when he was praying, he got a busy signal. It was just me in there ahead of him. I think I understand how Abraham Lincoln felt when he said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Now, I realize it's fashionable in some circles to believe that no one in government should encourage others to read the Bible. That we're told that we'll violate the constitutional separation of church and state established by the Founding Fathers in the First Amendment. The First Amendment was not written to protect people and their laws from religious values. It was written to protect those values from government tyranny. I've said that we must be cautious in claiming God is on our side. I think the real question we must answer is, are we on His side? No matter where we live, we have a promise that can make all the difference. A promise from Jesus to soothe our sorrows, heal our hearts, and drive away our fears. He promised there will never be a dark night that does not end. Our weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He promised if our hearts are true, His love will be as sure as sunlight. And by dying for us, Jesus showed how far our love should be ready to go. All the way. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all praise Him. Americans yearn to explore life's deepest truths, and to say their entertainment, or their idea of entertainment, is sex and violence and crime is an insult to their goodness and intelligence. We are people who believe love can triumph over hate, creativity over destruction, and hope over despair. And that's why so many millions hunger for God's good news. I've always believed that we were, each of us, put here for a reason, that there is a plan, somehow a divine plan for all of us. I know now that whatever days are left to me belong to Him. I also believe this blessed land was set apart in a very special way. Our forebears came not for gold, but mainly in search of God and the freedom to worship in their own way. We've been a free people living under the law with faith in our Maker and in our future. I've said before that the most sublime picture in American history is of George Washington on his knees in the snow at Valley Forge. That image personifies a people who know that it's not enough to depend on our own courage and goodness. We must also seek help from God, our Father and Preserver. We'll never find every answer, solve every problem, or heal every wound, but we can do a lot if we walk together down that one path that we know provides real hope. The morality and values such faith implies are deeply embedded in our national character. Our country embraces those principles by design, and we abandon them at our peril. My experience in this office I hold has only deepened a belief I've held for many years. Within the covers of that single book are all the answers to all the problems that face us today if we'd only read and believe.
Amen and amen. We really enjoyed that. And hope you enjoyed it as well. Next week, we have several guests coming over here on the air with us. I believe we have Joel Chernoff, Phil Brassfield, Terrence Harrison. And I just got Terrence's book in the mail today. And these are all authors, of course. And his book is called Naked Truth, The Relationship Between Religion, Sex, and the Bible. Pretty interesting. Terrence holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in Ministerial Theology and Master of Divinity. He has been married for 22 years to his wife, Karen. He is, written this book, and just an idea of what the book talks about. I'll read you one thing here. It is the culmination of over 20 years of study, research, and keen observation. As such, the book emerges as somewhat of a rejoinder to conventional Christian wisdom and notions of biblical instructions regarding sexual purity as espoused by the most Christian speakers, writers, and clerics. The book engages in a mature conversation that both adolescents and adults can identify with. Although all information associated with the sexual practice is referenced scientifically and tastefully, be advised that the subject is discussed very openly and unabashedly within its pages. The tone of this book is scholarly, at times serious, at times funny and fun, at times, but always candid, frank, and real. Hey, it's going to be a good interview. That's going to be next Thursday. Of course, we have Phil Brassfield, and that's Terrence Harrison, and then we have Phil Brassfield on Wednesday, and Joe Chernoff on, I hope I'm saying his name right, Joe Chernoff on Tuesday. So next week's going to be a great week. Thank you for listening to us, and thank you for being a part of this broadcast. I mean, there's so many other places that you can listen to, so many other places that you can hear from, and we have the chat window open, so if you're listening on the air with us right now, you can always chat with us at any time. You can chat with us and let us know questions and interact with our guests. We're going to go and let you go, my friends. Thank you for being a part of our broadcast again today. And you can always email me, David@RevMediaNetwork. You can always write me, Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. God bless you, my friends, and see you next time on The Midwatch. We'll be right back.